This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. The US Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, in collaboration with Biji Biji Initiative and Mereka, is back this year to ignite new ideas and innovations in civic engagement through YCLEE, that is the Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative. And they are having this boot camp, which is about sparking digital action in Sabah and Sarawak. And this camp will be held on October 4th, 2021. So joining me on the show today to discuss everything about this camp are some of the brains behind this program, one of whom is Navin Jana Binwani, who is a partner at Biji Biji Initiative, as well as Syed Rushdie, a co-founder and director at House Kuching. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Darshan.
Hey, Darshan. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this camp. So let's start with what it is all about. Perhaps you can break what this camp or YCLEE Bootcamp is all about.
So the YCLEE Bootcamp is a program that brings together people who would like to bring change through action. And what we mean by that is, you know, people who have never had this experience should definitely check it out and apply. And through this program, they're equipped with resources, expertise, and the network to create a campaign around the issue they would like to solve. So the goal is to, provide the expertise and the know-how in order to create meaningful campaigns around their issues. So for example, last year, we had 6 teams that created campaigns related to, you know, advocating for issues such as taboos regarding mental health and its discussion, period poverty, right? Because these are still issues that Malaysians and policymakers need awareness and discussions on. So the aim is to provide them the know-how to carry out these campaigns in hopes that they can sustain this as movements.
Hmm. But this specific one is a Sabah and Sarawak edition, right? So why Sabah and Sarawak specifically, and what's going to be unique about this edition?
So why Sabah and Sarawak specifically, I think, for this year was to be more inclusive in the issues that surround us as Malaysians. I think we don't give enough limelight or awareness to the issues going on there. So that's why with the aim this year to bring to the forefront the issues that East Malaysians face.
Hmm. So now, guys, this boot camp is about, I was going through some of the information that's already out there about the boot camp, and one of it is about cultivating young leaders, like you alluded to, Navin. How do you define a leader? Because that's such a, there are various different kinds of leaders. What qualities in particular are you guys looking for or looking to nurture? How do you define a leader?
Right. And I think a leader is someone who, you know, has the courage to fix things around them, yet has the ability to skillfully listen to the voices of the people and the community regarding this issue, right? And I think it's important to not get caught up with letting their vision compromise the vision of the cause. And I think it's important that, you know, sometimes the cause outlives our lifetime. And how do we stay true to that? I think that's a definition of a leader.
What do you think, Rushdie? Because you are a leader yourself, right? You are the co-founder and director of House Kuching. How do you define a leader?
I guess so. I guess I am somewhat of a leader from my experiences, whether or not it's known to me. coming from the skateboarding community, there's a lot of things that I initially led in our scene here, our young burgeoning scene. And it came with pioneering contests and making sure there were a lot of activities to keep the youths engaged around me, of whom I was one. Only stepping up to the plate in directing House was I able to see what it was like to transform into, or rather grow into, a form of leadership that was needed or rather necessary. So I would define a leader as someone who is able to view the bigger picture in understanding their community, understanding the needs of more than just themselves, and willing to go the distance to see the change happen and be part of that change, whether or not it's the initiation or the execution or seeing it through. A leader should have that understanding and also be able to sacrifice, I guess.
Hmm. One of the program's aim of this boot camp is to empower youth to champion social issues faced by communities in East Malaysia. What are some of the pressing social issues faced by Sabahans and Sarawakians? Navin, earlier you mentioned something interesting, right? That you know, we need to be more inclusive. I think inclusive is the word that you used, because in Malaysia we have this very sort of narrow look. You know, when people think Malaysia, a lot of people just think of peninsula. People on this side don't really understand the differences, the nuances, the problems, the cultural sensitivities, and all sorts of things that are very unique to Sabahans and Sarawakians. So what are some of the pressing social issues faced by people in East Malaysia?
I think regarding the social issues, what I've recently seen is, you know, with the pandemic and access to healthcare and health literacy as well, I think it's a huge issue in East Malaysia. Education, and when I say education, I don't mean in terms of the, of course, the access as well, but more structural, in the sense that how we assess different communities, you know, using the same outdated standard, you know, such as SPM, something like that. I feel there's a need to make way for a more inclusive, again, method of assessing comprehension and literacy based on their background and their environment. And I remember particularly one session on your show where Roz Hussein, I think, kind of touched on this during her session, where she was talking about how she works with Orang Asli communities, right? And her work in the US, and when she came back, that was particularly refreshing to me. So I think these two issues, whether it's happening on a local level or in terms of the policy around it, I think are the large issues that most East Malaysians face.
Rushdie?
I think, not to take away from that point, but some social issues, and I think, Navin, we spoke greatly at length about certain issues and what we would find relevant to this particular conversation. But something I would like to highlight, and it might come as a surprise to you, is that a lot of our youth do not identify with this kind of blanket image that is portrayed over Sarawak. You know, when the idea of, or rather the topic of Sarawak comes up, immediately you think of sape playing persons in their traditional garb. And yeah, I'm also part of this organization called Borneo Bengkel, and we discuss identity issues among Borneans, and more specifically with regards to Sarawak. A lot of our collaborators and talents that we work with do not have expressed that they do not identify with this image of Sarawak that is always portrayed across Malaysia. And I think that's something that can be remedied with, stopping or not fetishizing this exotic culture or tribes, the idea of forest-dwelling people who are somewhat modern, because, you know, that's what it seems like. Do you guys agree with that? I mean, I have more points to make, but
actually, that's a fantastic point you bring up, because if you say Sarawakians don't sort of identify with this sort of outdated understanding of what Sarawak and Sabahans are, right? I mean, we still hear jokes until today, like, oh, you're from Sarawak, do you live in a treehouse, you know, do you climb tree? You know, these are jokes that we still hear, like, you know, when Sarawakians and Sabahans go to universities, you know, and we make these kind of jokes and stuff in universities in KL. Now, with that in mind, how do Sarawakians see themselves then in today's society? How do they identify? What is the culture of East Malaysia? Or is the point you're trying to make that is that there is no one specific culture. There's no one specific way to look at Sabah and Sarawak. In fact, Sabah and Sarawak itself are two completely different entities that people in West Malaysia don't seem to understand.
I think it's both of those things, Darshan. One that, how they want to see themselves is, we keep saying that we're part of Malaysia and all of that. So maybe it's good to see us as Malaysians as well, just with a little bit of a different flair, maybe that island flair. But it shouldn't take away from the fact that there are so many ethnicities in Sabah and Sarawak, probably outnumber the number of ethnicities in West Malaysia. And that's a point on its own, I think. So how do we juggle that individuality, but also part of something bigger? I believe that a discussion can be had more. And it's not something that we're looking to remedy overnight, of course. With regards to social issues in Sarawak, I guess something that can be mentioned, because I work in the creative industry, right? There's quite an obvious wage gap between how much creative professionals are paid here in Sarawak, or from my experience in Kuching, compared to how a freelancer could be remunerated in Kuala Lumpur or Klang Valley. And it's very apparent, and you have people always questioning initially, why are we getting paid less when perhaps with regards to design, our design is just as good. We're producing the equal amount of output. Why is our rate 70% less? And then the problem on the client's understanding is that, these designers are living in a city with low costs, why should they be paid so much? And it's kind of that toxic culture of not communicating what is actual fairness that leads towards this becoming normalcy. And I find that problematic because I myself am a freelance designer. I've been designing for the past 8-9 years. It's always been a hit and miss with clients here, but the clients elsewhere always pay well. So one of the issues that arise from this is that our burgeoning talents, our very creative and highly successful and intelligent people always have to, unfortunately, go to KL if they want to make it in the industry. And I find that is a especially problematic issue here because we don't retain our own brains. And, when our communities are not located here, it's hard for them to contribute to the scene, to the industry, to the level of professionalism here. Mm. So it's always that journey of having to go across, make it, come back and try to help somehow. That's an unnecessary step to take, I think.
And no. If I may add, right, like, I think what you mentioned then is quite interesting because that kind of slows down the support systems that you have within maybe the creative industry or various other industries, right? Because, you have to go over to Semenanjung, make it over here, and then come back. Whereas, if you had that burgeoning like talent pool over there, it would most likely lead to a more communal kind of strength, to support each other and to also speak out against this inequality.
On the show with me today are Navin Janak Binwani. He's a partner at the BGBG Initiative, and Syed Rushdi, co-founder and director at House Kuching. And they're sharing about an upcoming camp that they're organizing in collaboration with the US Embassy, which is YSEALI, Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative, Bootcamp 2021, Sparking Digital Action, Sabah and Sarawak Edition. After the break, we'll be talking about some of the activities that will be held throughout the camp. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today are Naveen Janab Binwani. He's a partner at BGBG Initiative, and Syed Rushdie, co-founder and director at House Kuching. And they're sharing about an upcoming camp called YCLE, Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative Bootcamp 2021, Sparking Digital Action, Sabah and Sarawak Edition. So both of you guys are in the in and around the creative scene, right? Given the organizations and the scene that y'all are attached to, because when we look at camps like these, right, Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative, and people hear that, people always think of it as something. Some people might think of it as something very dry, something very serious in that sense, and it is serious. But what I'm trying to get at is, what roles do the creatives play in this boot camp, in this collaboration, and how important do you think the creative scenes, or what role do they play when it comes to championing social issues?
Oh, I think very important, Dashran, because the main part of any campaign is communication, right? And telling a story. And us as human beings being very visual creatures, it's important to first understand what your community needs, capture their voice accurately as possible, and then depict that to people who maybe not know about the issue or to the larger audiences. So I think that ability to stay true, but still kind of be creative in the way that you capture people's minds and eyes is very important. So I think it goes back to how we tell a story, right? Anybody can tell a story, but how do you make it interesting? How do you make it capture someone and captivate someone? I think is a role, whether you're an activist or whether you're a creative, it's important to have both. A logical sense and as well as a creative sense.
Really? Yeah.
If I may add to that, Naveen, that was kind of the point I was going to make as well.
Sorry.
But we don't have to tell anybody. Yeah, for real though, the importance of having more creative types on board is not so much. I mean, we associate creatives with what, musicians or, the artists or maybe designers area. But I think the point of having a creative person is, or rather nurturing that creativity, is we're nurturing critical thinking as well, and this works well to translate in the problem of translating an action, a necessary action that might seem boring to your everyday person. You invite a creative in to translate that to something relatable. And that is basically, in a nutshell, today's content creation, right? We are entertaining people. We are educating people in a very creative manner. And, what was normally usually boring information you'd find in a book in a library, important as it is now extremely palatable because of how we consume it. So I think I'm looking forward to that kind of a marriage of peoples in this boot camp, where we have the technical and we have the creative, because I think working together, you cross communities, right? And when you overlap, there's proper knowledge and skill exchange. And I'm really looking forward to that in this boot camp.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And this idea of creatives being involved, in social issues, in political issues, is not something that is new globally, even in Malaysia, all of that. I mean, even recently, one of the most popular political songs in Malaysia is Sabah Bangkit. And it was excellent. Grassroots artists from Sabah and Sarawak came together to release the song. And it was really, really impactful. When we look at the current times we live in, what is civic engagement, particularly youth civic engagement, like in East Malaysia? Are the youths politically engaged, and is it improving in that sense, like comparatively, to when perhaps you guys were growing up?
I think from my understanding, yes, the youth are more politically engaged and civically engaged now. What we have seen is probably 39.92% of voters during Sabah 2020 elections were between the ages of 21 and 39, based on, you know, the data from EC. So, and in Sarawak as well, recently we saw that, you know, youths won the bid in the High Court to implement Undi 18, which then would allow some 8 million new voters to vote in the upcoming state elections. So I do feel there is engagement and more talk on activism and civic engagement in East Malaysia. And I just really want to see more leaders in those states nurture these talents and provide them with the resources and expertise to guide them through through this journey.
Gosh, I think political civic engagement in the political arena here is somewhat tepid and very, you know, not as engaging as in West Malaysia. I think for the most part, leading up to the fall of Barisan Nasional a few years back, a lot of East Malaysians were very relaxed about the notion of voting even. There were very few youth-led organizations or movements that worked towards this political change. And then PH came about, right? And that was it felt like a low-hanging fruit for people. And so I'm not proud to admit it, but that was my first time voting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always good to see that you're part of the change that happened, like you voted for this to happen. And then it actually happened. You know, it's such a huge difference from when I was younger, when it was always just blindly following, we're part of Malaysia, and then we celebrate 31st August, which in fact is actually not accurate with regards to the inclusion of Sabah and Sarawak in 1963, of which the proper date is 16 September. And that's also, I guess, not the fault of many peoples. I look back at my own education and I'm just following everything blindly, right, in the buku teks sejarah. And I'm like, yes, okay, oh, this person was a bad guy, okay, got it. Only until, I think, 2009 was September 16th officially recognized as Malaysia Day. And it was only after, during college time, that I would look in to my people's history and find, hey, these parallels of what I'm learning outside of school and what I'm learning in school is highly inaccurate and extremely irresponsible that such text had not changed in spite of new information coming to light, rather mm-hmm. new awareness of this old information coming to light. So coming back to the present, I'm somewhat more involved. I follow it more closely. Now that we see that change is possible through our individual and therefore collective actions, it's almost incentivizing to participate and try to understand the local scene. So that's where I'm coming from the past of ignorance to the present of awareness. And I'm hoping that can translate more appealingly to our youths through this bootcamp, I guess.
Yeah. Now, what's perhaps concerning or a concern that I have is this bootcamp aims to address digital divide and digital equity in Sabah and Sarawak, which is extremely important. I mean, we've heard over the past 1 year or 2 years, I think that's when the realization for many people who, you know, live in their West Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur bubble, you know, to see and read the news about a young girl having to climb trees, literally just to do a homework because of the lack of internet connectivity and all of that. It was really shocking to many, and it was really eye-opening, right? But most of this boot camp, there's going to be webinars and all of that. It's all also online, which would require decent internet access to attend and participate in the first place. So are there plans to involve people in rural Sabah and Sarawak, the people who have to climb trees and you know, get internet connection into this boot camp?
I think, yeah, you know, she's just one of these many cases, right? Who have had to battle to find connection, to do what they want to do, to get access to education. In the regard of bridging the divide, there are a few challenges, of course, with the pandemic mainly, not being able to go on the ground and directly reach out to these communities and inform them of the topics that we're going to talk about and get them on board. So how we're doing this is, yes, what you mentioned is right. There are webinars, there are sessions that require internet access. So how we're going about it is firstly reaching out to our partners who are on the ground to involve their community. And secondly, these partners as well have agreed to provide a space to these eager participants for them to gain access to internet and the space during the bootcamp, as well as we also ask in our form, in our application form, whether they require internet to be subsidized. And we do have allocations for this. So yes, there are challenges and we're trying our very best to, you know, despite these challenges, reach out to these people. But I think it will definitely not kind of be the same if we were on the ground.
So Navin was speaking previously about someone who had to do homework in their tree, you know, just to be able to access internet. And, you know, what something that we can learn from that is the power of social media to create awareness, of course, and also to bring action or bring the need for action or that awareness for that to the people in power. And if we look at that case study specifically, it was very briefly afterwards that the whole village had internet and, you know, these politicians had to rectify their scarred image, blah, blah, blah. My point is that do we need to wait for that to happen, for action to take place? And we also see that there is money, there is funding already allocated to these things. It's just not mobilized. What can we do short of everybody trying to post up a viral video of real issues and then defacing the state government in, and which then propels them into action? So, you know, zooming back out, I think this is something that can be remedied with the bootcamp. And this is something I appreciate Mareka and BGBG for doing prior to the bootcamp, which is to speak with local partners and try to target the points of dispersion of this information, right? Because of the lack of connectivity, you cannot realistically reach those people. So what you can do is be in touch with the communities who have the ability to reach them through non-internet means. People on the ground, people who are meeting these communities face-to-face. And I really appreciate BGBG for doing that, for coming to the ground and having this discussion with us local partners and then forming their plan afterwards. And it's really something a lot of our leaders and a lot of other big organizations who come into Sarawak prior to discussions that they could learn from. Which is to come down, you know, turun padang, meet the community, have a discussion. Is what we're proposing necessary? Is it needed? And then form something around it. And just hats off to BGBG for doing that.
What are the activities that will be held throughout the bootcamp? Perhaps you can run them through.
Right. So the bootcamp itself is a 4-week long camp that we'll cover pre-recorded lessons. So we had activists and speakers from last year come in and provide their expertise on various topics such as civic engagement, campaign planning, budgeting, communication strategies, fundraising, looking for mentors and ambassadors, technological tools, as well as project management. So, you know, how do you structure your objectives and your outputs, and how do you measure these things? So throughout the camp, the participants will go through those lessons. Come and join us for office hours where we check in on them and their progress, as well as live sessions with the experts to answer any questions related to that subject matter. And at the end of the 4 weeks, they'll come up with their civic engagement framework, which encompasses all these different topics, and pitch these ideas in a pre-recorded video to a series of judges. And upon that, we'll be selecting 4 teams to continue on with seed funding and mentorship.
So talk to me about that seed funding, because I read that participants will stand a chance to receive funds and further mentorship. What can you tell me about this? What are these funds going to be used for? What is the mentorship? What is it? What are you guys building towards?
So ultimately, it's towards them implementing this campaign. And the funds will be used to, supplement the activities and plans that they have. And the mentors, which come from Parkour's Trust and House Huching, along with the BGBG and Mereka team and their networks, will guide these participants throughout their campaign and provide, any input or advice on what they need to do to make their campaigns more effective.
And who can sign up for this camp, and how can interested people sign up for this camp?
So this camp is open to all East Malaysians aged 18 to 35, and they can sign up via our website, www.mereka.my/YSEALI, YSEALI, bootcamp, BOOTCAMP 2021. And they can apply via the form there.
Okay, and remind us again when the camp is taking place and the closing date to sign up.
So the closing date is coming up soon, September 27th, and the camp starts in October 4th.
All right. And as we wrap this conversation up, guys, since we're on the topic of East Malaysia, and there have been growing calls, especially in recent times, by Sabahans and Sarawakians, we are hearing renewed calls by East Malaysians to revisit the original document of MA63. We are seeing also, a rise of regionalism, which of course may have pros and cons to it and all of that, but the point is people in Sabah and Sarawak are starting to wake up, and they are starting to realise the unjust treatments of these territories for decades, specifically by Putrajaya and Sabah and Sarawakian politicians all those years ago. So with all of that in mind, what would be your wish list for Sabah and Sarawak? Perhaps you can start with you, Rushdie.
Gosh, where do I even begin? You're talking about revisiting MA63, definitely. But besides that, I guess, something for the people. Stop fetishizing Sarawakian culture in our tourism ads, in our national collateral that's being promoted across the country. We are more than just our traditional garb and our sape playing musicians. There's a whole host of stories and culture that come from all kinds of heritage that, if you speak to us, you will understand, So I would also wish for Malaysians to take a step further in trying to understand their fellow East Malaysians, right? And not stop at seeing it on TV and be content with that. I think there has to be a little bit more curiosity about people who are as Malaysian as you. But besides this, I think it's a wish list, right? So it's not impossible, but it's also perhaps a I spoke with Navin about this. We had many things to say. One of the things I wanted was for Malaysian football glory to be restored to the how we were in the 70s. That level of playership, that level of sportsmanship and professionalism and just go-getting spirit. I think that is something that could also bring Malaysians together. And really, that's all I want. I want all Malaysians to get along and understand each other.
What about you, Navin?
Yeah, Rushdie, I think like getting on your point as well. And I think firstly, Dashran, like I think East Malaysians have been woke for a long time. So I think it's those in power that need to wake up, more importantly. And what I wish for Malaysia is for the Malaysian youth of this country to take up the pledge to make Malaysia the Malaysia we all wish to live in.
On that note, Naveen, Rushdie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's such a pleasure to be here.
That was Naveen Janab Bin Wani, a partner at BGBG Initiative, and Syed Rushdie, co-founder and director at House Kuching, some of the brains behind the YCLE Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative Bootcamp 2021, which is about sparking digital action, Sabah and Sarawak edition. So if you missed any part of this conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, Spotify, Apple, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.